The Carolina Panthers select Shaq Thompson.
Carolina Panthers select Derrick Brown.
The Carolina Panthers select J.C. Horn.
The Carolina Panthers select Ikem Ekwonu.
Of the first pick of the night.
With the first pick in the 2023 NFL Draft, the Carolina Panthers select Bryce Young.
And with the 39th pick, the Carolina Panthers select Jonathan Mingo.
Welcome back, Beards Watch Podcast, episode 328. Charleston One Podcast recorded in a basement. Been a while. I think the last time we did one of these about a month or so ago before Survivor started. Last time we saw Caleb was, I think, the end of year wrap-up, sadness times there, figuring out. Or maybe after we hired Canales or something like that. I can't remember exactly when it was. But we're here. We're only going three wide. I was just telling Duvall, Jeeves is out to dinner with his moms. It's Lurs' anniversary with his wife. So I told him, do not miss that over this podcast. We don't need you in the doghouse because of us. And then Quarter said his whole household is sick. So, hey, you got to do what you got to do. So we'll go three wide here. Caleb, man, how you doing?
Doing good, fellas, man. Glad to be back. As we were talking about before we came on, I'm just ready for the draft to be here. It feels like it's been a long April waiting for NFL to get kick-started. And ready for Thursday night. Well, I guess Friday for Panthers. But, ready to get going, man.
Yeah. And Duvall, back in, like a week ago, you had finished up the Boston Marathon. So how are you feeling?
I'm pretty good, man. Kind of been out the loop, man. I kind of just spent the last, few months running. But really looking forward to kind of getting back into some draft buzz. I mean, I was able to witness the Hornets really kind of stink up the end of the season. but looking forward to seeing what we've got. I'm glad free agency went fairly decent. And it is kind of unusual for us to not have a first-round pick. But still excited about the second round because we got – such a close, couple of picks, but I know we'll get into that. But doing good, man. I can't complain. If you're looking for me, Just Duvall, Instagram, Rod vs. Duvall on Twitter.
All right, nice. Yeah, for me, JRL Nation, Twitter and Instagram, the Beards Watch Podcast, Facebook. Then, of course, listen to our podcast anywhere. And then our YouTube, they see me rolling. We will have a watch party here in the basement again because everyone seems to love that. We'll do our little Duvall, you coming over for the fantasy game too?
I should be there.
Okay,
What's the
$5 and under, and then you put in a rule you put in a rule last year where no drinks. So it'll just be any $5 and under stuff. Since you have won the last 3 years of this NFL mock draft challenge, it's fair enough you can throw in create a rule there, I guess, is in the rule book. So we'll do that, and then we'll post that obviously Thursday night, Friday morning of our reaction to all the picks and all that good stuff. So you touched on the Hornets. There was that one stretch of games where they won three out of four or something, and everyone after the trade deadline or something, everyone was like, okay, maybe they're gonna at least go on a little run here, and then it just all fell apart. At least Brandon Miller looks to be the truth. We could have a whole other separate pod on is it now Brandon Miller's team over LaMelo, because LaMelo seems to have the J.C. Horn curse where he can't stay on the court or the field or whatever you call it. So I don't know. It did the end of the season. They did finish the season with one win. We won the tiebreaker over the Trailblazers. We can't pick lower than seventh. I mean, this would be the 1 year we win the number one overall when it seems to be nobody that's
taken.
Yeah, it's just this reminds me of that draft we took Cody Zeller where it was just a bunch of guys Nerlens Noel, Cody's it was just you didn't really want that top pick or really a pick in the first round, but who knows?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you on that, and we'll see what happens. I mean, and who knows? Even if we don't get the first and we get the top three, hopefully we hit on whatever pick that is. Because as we've already, you've all kind of given me so much grief. Brandon Miller wasn't the pick that I wanted, and I will admit that I wanted Scoot Henderson. And now, obviously Brandon Miller looks like the better pick, and I hope it actually stays that way. Not saying that I don't want Scoot to have a good career. Maybe he bounces back next year. And then to your point, Jacob, about LaMelo, I don't know if it'll be necessarily LaMelo's team, but I think they can kind of coexist, barring any injuries, and actually LaMelo stays healthy, starts to wear the ankle braces. And I mean, to be fair, Curry had a lot of those same injuries when in his first few years. So hopefully he's able to really do what he's supposed to do in terms of taking care of his body and his health, and we'll bounce back next year. But of course, it's full football season and draft season now. So I'll save that for a later date.
If LaMelo stays healthy, I think it's his team. Like, okay. If the guy's healthy and they're both on the floor together, it'll be LaMelo's team. It's all dependent on his ankle staying healthy.
And I've heard the chirps, you know, as we all probably have, we should just go ahead and trade LaMelo and get what you can. I would like to see a bigger sample size of LaMelo and Miller on the court at the same time before just completely done. I mean, we just gave LaMelo that huge extension, you know. Our whole thing in Charlotte is you got to draft guys, right? Once in a while, you can sign an Al Jefferson or whatever, but you got to draft or trade for your talent because not a lot of guys are necessarily going to come sign big deals here. So if you can get a guy and draft him and then he wants to sign the big deal, keep him. So I like to see more of them two before ditching that. But, yeah, we can jump back in around, what, June or so, whenever that comes about, and maybe do one of those when the draft is. But, yeah, let's get into it. I think you brought up – I should have looked this up, Duvall. But a good point. I think what the last time we didn't have a first round pick was it 2009 after we traded to get Otaw and maybe Jonathan Stewart? Because I remember we took Stewart and then we traded back up in the first round to get Otaw. And it didn't really matter because I think we went on a good little run and the pick was like maybe in the 20s. I think the Bears got that pick. You know what? The Everett Brown one.
What was Everett Brown?
Everett Brown. That might have been 2009, maybe? I don't know.
Might have been.
So
wow. I remember that one.
It's been a while. It's been a while since the Panthers haven't had a first overall. And we thought we'd trade out of it. What, maybe that Vernon Butler year, right? When they took Vernon Butler, we thought maybe, they trade down. They took Vernon Butler, which I saw someone bring up a point that I think – the next defensive tackle off the board after Vernon Butler was, can anybody guess?
Aaron Donald?
Nope. Chris Jones.
Holy shit.
I saw that and I was like, I just got irrationally mad about that whole thing again. Like, really? Really? Like, that Gettleman's last? Oh, so. But all right. We have it. No one's discussed, at least on this pod yet, the Burns trade. It wasn't the two first that was out there for the Rams. We knew we weren't going to get that. How are we feeling with the trade and you know, him getting the money? I'll let Caleb, you fire it off.
Yeah, I think it's easy to be really mad about the compensation you got when you know the compensation they could have gotten two years ago. But I think it's really hard to look at it like that, and I think that's kind of knee-jerk reaction. I think Dan Morgan comes in and he has to make the best of a situation that wasn't going anywhere. You know, are you going to pay Brian Burns $30 million a year? Or are you going to pay him $24 million a year if he'll take it? And if you won't, what are you going to do? And that's kind of where he was at. And I think he got what he could for him. And when you look at the moves they made in free agency, they basically replaced him with three guys that, you know, can probably exceed his sack total from last year.
Yeah.
It's almost like the Moneyball situation of the Oakland A's in the past. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, it's just, all right, let's replace his production, pay three guys for the next year or two, and get it off the books in 25 and beyond instead of being hamstrung with him. I've always felt like Brian Burns was a little overrated. It's hard to find pass rushers. It sucks. And in the grand scheme of things, I would have loved for him to take $25 million or whatever it was going to be and be here. But I never wanted to pay him $30 million. Dan Morgan came in, did what he could. You know, it sucks to lose talent, and now you have to replace, you know, him with a young edge rusher in this year's draft or next. But the compensation didn't bother me because I think Dan Morgan did what he had to do.
Yeah, I think being able to get those two guards, to me, is at least saying – and then the biggest is getting Clowney, right? Like, that way, if you don't get Clowney, it's you're looking at, you know, the guy from the Vikings, Wonum or whatever, DJ Johnson from last year, and a couple other undrafted-type guys that have hung around. So the Clowney one was big, and like you said, a two-year deal, $20 million up to $24 million. The guy played all of last season, first time ever. I'm with it. And with, you know, it seems like an Evero scheme, like, you know, Burns didn't. Now, again, we didn't have a lot of leads. He didn't have a lot of chance to chase quarterback. But again, besides that Atlanta game, the very first game of the season, the very first half, he kind of was not there. You know, I mean, he admitted at the end of the season, which was crazy to say, that he wasn't in it and focused all the way, which if Dan Morgan was looking for dogs, that's not a guy you're looking for. Like, I get it, but sometimes you just shouldn't say things like that if you're really looking to get paid. Good luck to the Giants. I mean, they're almost worse off than us. Daniel Jones coming off of ACL. They got two pass rushers, but damn, that offense, I don't know. So I was glad at least they went out, spent the money on to go, okay, we got to see if Bryce Young is it or not. Let's get these two big old dudes in the middle, go out and get Clowney, sign a couple other guys. So, yeah, I was cool with it. It sucks, but we'll know in a couple years if that 39th pick or however they do it, they trade down, whatever, is what it is. But at least they got something, and I was it stings, but it is what it is. What about you,
Duval? To that point, sorry, Duval, just what I was going to say is I can't remember a single game over the last 4 years. If you're getting paid $30 million a year, you're Max Crosby, you're those guys, you take over games and you win games for your team.
Agreed.
I can't pick out a single game over the last 4 years that Brian Burns dominated and won the game for us.
Yes.
So, yes. You know, so at the and he's terrible in run coverage. At least that's the way it feels. So,
I'll say to your point, kind of just to what you both have said, like, I don't think he was worth that type of money. And then you look at all the defensive ends that we paid over the past few years. I mean, you got the Peppers, you've got the Charles Johnsons, you've got the Mario Addisons. Like, they were the type of people, the type of defensive ends that really were able to change games. Even Addison would change games. Now, granted, he wasn't Charles Johnson or Julius Peppers or even, you know, Greg Hardy for that matter. But he was still able to be dominant in run coverage. And that was one of the biggest lacks of Brian Burns. So I get it. Do I think he will have some success in New York? Absolutely. He's able to pin his ears back and he can get on the edge. That's his bread and butter. I think he's more of a situational pass rusher, more so than just he just doesn't have the, to me, maybe in their scheme, maybe he can be an every downer, but I hated to see him go, but I also understood that type of money to him wouldn't have been worth it. I mean, the 24, the 23, over a four-year deal, then I can make that case. But no, there's no way. $30 million for he's not giving the production that Watt's giving or the guy in Cleveland or anybody like that. No,
yeah.
He can.
Yeah. No, that's exactly, I think, how we all kind of felt at the end when he signed that much money. What was it? 5 years, 184 or something like that with New York. I mean, that with where our team is at now. We went 2-15, and he played all season. And I don't, you know, how can you justify that besides just saying, okay, here we go? I mean, everyone talked about it all year as our season progressed and we stunk. It was like they're going to have to deplete the defense to make the offense better to make sure Bryce Young. And that's what they were saying. You'd have to trade Brian Burns. You have to trade Warren. Now, again, we can go hindsight. The 2-1 sucked. In hindsight, the way you would have salvaged that would have been to include him in the trade instead of DJ Moore, right?
Moore,
like, if that would have been it, then you could have at least been like, hey, we kept DJ Moore. You would have given Bryce another weapon. But, you know, no. So then that kind of even the double, I think that double killed on top of every other move that, what's his name, made, the former GM?
Fitterer.
Yeah, Fitterer. So.
Well, and I think the thing that really hurts, and it's exactly why this team is 2-15 right now, that's three straight top draft picks we lost between DJ Moore, Christian McCaffrey, and Brian Burns.
Yeah.
You know, you, when you get talent in an organization, you just let them go. I mean, I know it was for trades and stuff, but, you know, it's not good. It's not good business. You know, your first-round picks, you'd like to hit a second contract or third contract with you. And I know Christian did, but that's a different story. But, you know, that's three straight years of first-round picks that we just are gone. And that's why this team's in this situation. But when you're in this situation – and you're 2-15, you can't pay a guy like Brian Burns $30 million a year.
Yep.
You know what I mean? I'd rather allocate that money to Derek Brown in the middle. And I'm going back to your Scoot Henderson thing, Duvall. I wanted Isaiah Simmons over Derek Brown. I looked dumb there too. But
hey, we did.
Me too.
We did too. Hey, we got video evidence. That was the COVID year. We got video evidence of all of us reacting to that pick. Yeah. So yeah, they made, you know, everyone was talking about once they trade Burns, like you said, get rid of all the ones. They trade them away. You develop and trade. So to then get that extension with Brown done showed, okay, they are serious. But they did it, unlike with Burns years before, trying to get it done and letting it play out. They went ahead and done it before his fifth-year option kind of kicked in, and they can get it done and keep moving.
And it's an affordable deal.
Yes.
Like, what, Derek Brown's, what, like $25 million a year or something like that, which I know is only $5 million cheaper, but it's an affordable deal to a top two or three defensive tackle in the league.
Yeah.
If he continues to play like he did last year.
Yeah.
And last year it felt like Derek Brown was taking over games a lot more than Brian Burns did.
Absolutely.
You know, so, and I think for a growing team with a lot of money in the future, I think it was the perfect way to allocate money. I would much rather pay DB than Burns this offseason.
Yeah.
So, you know, the Fitterer stuff, you know, including him 100%. The two ones are one thing. You should have absolutely included Burns instead of Moore.
Yeah.
Like, that's hindsight 2020. But that's an old GM. Dan Morgan came in, did what he could.
Yeah.
And at this point, you're not going to get a starter at 33. So I'm hoping they push a young edge rusher off a year. But
I appreciate Morgan coming in, realizing the scenario. Talked to him. They gave him an offer where they were firm at. And this new guy, Brant Tillis, who came from Kansas City, who's known for, like, making contracts in a way of not mortgaging your whole future on everything.
Yeah.
Hey, look, this is where we're at, you know, and then going, okay, we're not going to be there. Let's go get a trade. And just cut and bait. Because sometimes it's just better to both ways shake hands, wash your hands up, go, okay, let's move on. Best of both worlds. Wish we could have paid you, but where we're at, we can't.
Yeah.
They went out and got the big. And again, and people were killing us for that guard signing. The 5 years, $100 million. It's a 3-year deal worth $50 million. Like, that's that to me is perfect. Those last 2 years are if he makes it there, and by then, if he is playing that well, it's either going to be a bargain or they're going to reach an extension or whatever it may be. So and you can't get your quarterback killed like Bryce Young and then get mad for spending money on guards. Like, wait, what did you expect them to do? Like, sit back and let Christensen and Knees Corbett and all them, everybody come back and do the same thing and Nash Jensen, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can't go into the season and be like, yeah, we got Nash Jensen at right guard and Christensen. Like, it's just not going to happen.
Well, two things to that. Yeah, so I think we spent the most money in free agency, like, between the offseason. Like, but Brant Tillis, 98% of that money is off the books in 25, after 25.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not like we're kicking the can down the road on this money or anything like that. We can get out of all these contracts in 2 years if we need to, if not 1 year. So 10 out of 10 there. And about the guard signings, I thought the Hunt signing was the best thing any team did in the offseason because I think – I know it's an analogy that people are banging their heads against the wall about, but you got to build interior offensive line when you have a short quarterback.
Yep,
they drafted
correct.
The guy. And you can go out and get a flashy wide receiver, but if you can't see over his offensive line, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
So, so like signing big time signings in the interior offensive line, I think it's going to be something we see for Bryce's entire career. It's something that's going to be a priority. And that's why I think center is a huge priority in this draft. So, you know, I think Dan Morgan, it wasn't a flashy free agency, and it's not going to win us more than two or three games more than we won last year, the free agency-wise. But I thought it was an extremely solid and smart free agency, something we haven't seen in a while.
Yeah, I mean, even the trade for Deontay Johnson, he's a one-year deal. We were cutting Jackson anyway, and to get that with a pick swap or whatever, I think that was great. He's out to prove it. He wants to get paid again, and he's going to – after today, I know we're still – you know, it's still April, at the end of April, who knows what we do in round 2, 3, 4, whatever, and we'll get to that. But he seems like Canales told him he's going to be the main guy, he's going to be the X, and he's the first read every play. And on top of that, Caleb, you made the point of probably won't get a starter in the second round. Canales did make a point, and it was after his press conference last week, of how he was saying, you know, rookies 90% of the time don't come in and are immediate starters. You know, and that's where we're picking, that, if you look at it, that really kind of is. There's very few guys that come straight in, and they're all, and let's just say immediate starters as in, like, make a big impact on the team, right? Like, you could throw a rookie in there, but is he, Mingo, for an example, did he actually make it not really an impact? No touchdowns, all over the place, whatever. So, I do anticipate these picks having a role, but not necessarily starting. I still see Deontay Johnson, Thielen, and then probably either a Marshall or a Mingo coming in there or whoever else. So, and then having packages for whoever that second round receiver is. But yeah, let's go ahead and get into that. So we've got two picks in the second, 33, 39, a third, 65, a fourth, two fourths, 101 and 141. One fourth is 101. A two fifths, 141 and 142, and then a seventh at 240. I think we can all agree we're probably not trading up to the first round, right?
Nah, I don't. Unless they on some wild shit, but I don't think so.
I don't think they do it, and I don't think they'd even do it if this happened. But the only way I'd be okay with it is if Brock Bowers slips to like 20, 21 or something, the tight end from Georgia, if they could trade like 39 or something to get up there. But I don't see it happening, but that would be the only thing I'm okay with. But they're not going to do it, and I don't think they should. So
yeah, I don't. So. They don't. Remember, we don't have a second next year. It's still owed for the trade up to one. So you know, that's it. So you have two twos here. You probably want to hold on to your one next year, just because again, it's not a Super Bowl championship team. You're probably picking top 10 at the very best inside. You know, whatever it is. So I can't see. I just can't. I do it. It'll be interesting. I hope a quarterback slips. I hope, because there is going to be one. Everyone keeps talking about five quarterbacks. Will Levis was projected. They'd say, oh, he's now going to go two overall. That motherfucker slid to what? The top eight. The Titans traded up at 33 and took him at 33. Somebody, Penix, McCarthy, I don't know. Someone is going to slip just because that's what always happens. Lamar Jackson, if there's there, what are we talking? And if your other, if Leggett's sitting there, I mean, I know he sounds like he's coming to the Panthers. They want him a lot. At least, again, he said pick promises, and we know every team says that. If you're there at this pick, we'll take you. What's your ransom?
I think that's good for him, because I think what he's doing is saying, hey, if you don't pick me in the first round, I'm going at 33. So I think he's being taught by some agent to be
absolutely.
Like, hey, he wants that first round money.
Yeah.
Saying, hey, you got to pick me before pick 33, that's otherwise true. I'm gone.
What do you think you take to give up 33? And where would you go down to? Knowing you've got six picks later and you're at 39?
Nothing further than like 45.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't dip into the late 40s or 50s. No, you got to stay kind of, because then you're giving the advantage to them trading that pick back because it's just so much of a gap there. Because as you know, like those first maybe 5 to 10 in the second round you can make the argument depending on the board, they could be first round grades for some other teams versus where you're picking. You're like, okay, so now I'm basically picking damn near third round grades in the second round. So I think we stay at 33 and 39. Well, unless like somebody wants to really come up at 39, but 33, I think we go best player available, whether it be receiver, center, defensive back, somewhere along those lines. I mean, I like Leggett or Leggett. I don't know how to pronounce his name. Yeah. I'm
looking at it right now. Pick 33 is us. Pick 34 is New England. So if New England doesn't take a quarterback in round one, but they may just say, F y'all aren't going to take a quarterback, and how far are you going to drop? Because then it goes the Cardinals, the Commanders, which we know they're taking a quarterback, the Chargers, and the Titans.
I did see a mock the other day that had New England not taking a quarterback in round one and trading with us, swapping 33 and 34 to make sure nobody else got to 33 to pick Bo Nix or whoever they picked in the first, and then gave us like a fourth or something like that to add on to it, which would be totally fine.
Yeah.
I'd be more apt to trade 39 just because it feels like there's so many good receivers and so much talent where there's going to be a really good center or a really good cornerback at least sitting there at 33 that you can have the pick of the litter. Yeah. Where if you go back three or four, let's say Ladd McConkey and Xavier Leggett are there at 33 and you get an offer to trade back to like 37 or 38, I'm not confident both those guys are sitting there at 45 picks, you know?
No.
So I would much rather pick the guy you want and have conviction in at 33 and then trade back 39 and get some assets for that. As far as like positions of need, like you said, Duvall, you know, I think you can put him in any order: wide receiver, cornerback, center, tight end,
linebacker.
Linebacker is important. Yeah, you know, to me though, the way I've kind of made twisted my brain around it, and look, I mean, like they didn't need Luke Kuechly, and they drafted him, and he was, you know, a Hall of Famer. So like, take the best player available. But I really hope they use in whatever order they want in 33, 39, and 65 in a receiver, a center, and I want a tight end probably with 65, a catching tight end. I'm afraid they're going to take a cornerback at 33 or 30, 39, depending on who's available, whether it's the kid from Michigan it sounds like they're really high on, that short guy. I can't think of his name right now. But or like if a Nate Wiggins slips out of the first round, maybe they take him at 33. I don't know, but I'm really hoping they address wide receiver and center with 33 and 39. I think that's what you need to do. Yeah. Because to your point earlier, Jacob, I think you can get, and again, the Austin Corbett situation is what it is, but I think you can get an immediate starter impact center at 33 or 39. Yeah. I think it's one of the few positions you could get an immediate impact player at.
Absolutely. And it's not to say that any position is, you know, easier to transition from college to the pro level, but I think the center position, for the most part, especially if you have veteran guard help at both guard positions, I think you're able to be good. And specifically because we did so much in free agency to shore up that and add depth there, I think you can get a center at 33 and 39, and you can plug them in. And they could still be extremely successful at that position.
And maybe they still want Corbett to start week one or whatever. But like you have the center of the future at this point, and it's not something you have to waste a high draft pick on next year. You know what I mean? Like you have your guy. You if you can get a star guy that may not start week one this year, but can come in if Corbett's knee falls apart or week one.
Which it could.
Of 2025, I think it's really smart business when you have, if you can get a receiver and a starting center at 33 and 39, I think you've won the draft. Like, in my eyes, as a Panther fan.
So, what pick do you remember that Ryan Khalil was?
Was he third round?
He was second. Was it 59? He's 59. So, I would say that center maybe at closer to 65. None of it. I what I also took from that press conference from Dan Morgan, they want playmakers, and he kind of tipped his cap a little bit. Take the ball away. We had 11 takeaways last year. We didn't turn the ball over with a shit. I mean, that they said that was the worst since like 97. 11 takeaways, and you know Dan Morgan, middle linebacker. He had a pretty solid All Pro at some point. 25 tackles in the Super Bowl. He had his key interceptions here and there. It would not surprise me if that 39th pick is that Edgerrin Cooper guy. They've been talking about that linebacker. And what did we see a couple years ago? Thomas Davis announced his replacement in Shaq Thompson at the end of that first round. If they take him knowing, okay, they got Josie Jewell. I think Shaq Thompson on his last year. He's coming off of a broken leg. Anybody, can you name anybody behind them? Because I can't. Like, I mean, it's like Chandler Wooten.
Barno.
Yeah.
Barno.
But Barno, he changed his number to 38, and he's like going to be a gun. I don't know. Like, it's so that middle linebacker spot, the two guys in the middle. I mean, it was Luvu, and then it was what's his name? He signed with the Vikings, I think, this year. That was he was an Eagles guy for Frank Wright or whatever that started. Gruger Hill or whatever, who was booty cheeks. Okay. I mean, I don't know. That just, Caleb, I don't get too mad because it seems like he's tipped the, it might be defense too.
I said that. I said, I think they'll go cornerback. I think with 33 or 30. And look, if a linebacker's there, like I have a bunch of friends from NC State who really want us to take Peyton Wilson at 39. I would
take him fourth round. The knee injuries scare the shit out of me for Peyton
Wilson.
Me too. Wilson,
I wouldn't touch, touch Peyton Wilson. Yeah. I'm just saying, I expect it.
Yeah.
I'm saying just in my mind what I would like to see.
Gotcha.
But like, I can't even express, and I know I've said this like 15 times, but I mean it. Like, I'm so level-headed about it. Like, whatever they do, and like, I'm not expecting it to translate to wins this year. I just think that, you know, not taking a wide receiver at 33 or 39 will be malpractice. I think they definitely do that. And what they do with the other one, we'll see. I would love an all-star center. I think an all-star center would be great. It would not shock me. I think they would go cornerback if that guy from Michigan's there. He's gotten a lot of buzz around us from everything you see on Twitter and everything. But if they go like linebacker, or if like a Chop Robinson, an edge guy from Penn State falls out of the first round, maybe they take him at 33. But like, you know, it would not shock me, Jacob. I totally hear you. Yeah. I think you're 100% right. And I'm not going to be mad about it. Like, I kind of started this by saying, I didn't think they should have taken Luke Kuechly, right? Like, what are you doing? We have Thomas Davis and John Beeson. Like, I do what you think's right. And as long as they take good football players, that's literally all we need.
Yeah.
Like, we're at the point now where we just need some talent.
Yeah.
I don't know if we have any.
But I think even back to your point when you're talking about earlier, we trading away your three first-round picks in a row, all that. It also has come down to, we haven't hit on late picks. You talk about second contracts. I mean, Gross Matos just left to go, and he probably just wanted to get the fuck out of here. You should trade the other guys. And nobody, I mean, we're still, they're going to figure out if they want to pick up J.C. Horn's option for this year. I think it's May something that every team has to, if you pick it up or not. And there's another one where you're like, is he going to get one or not? Doesn't look like he's going to get an extension. Are they going to pick it up? So all in all,
I think you have to.
I think this draft, if you get a corner, as you said, if they take one at 33 or 39, they may wait. But you're kind of stuck in a, do you, like, because he's only played like 16 games in like 4 years. So like, you're tough, but holy moly. And I think because then if he goes out and balls out and you have to franchise him, the franchise tag's higher. I don't know. So that is going to be interesting too. But if they don't, I mean, the same thing they brought up with Stephon Gilmore. I think it really is going to depend on if their guy is there at 33, 39, or even 65, because then you look at that as, you got Troy Hill, you got J.C. Horn. If they don't take one, they'll probably go hit Stephon Gilmore up and sign him, and then they'll roll that way, right? Like, and go with J.C., Stephon, Troy Hill, Dane Jackson, who they got from Buffalo, and then somebody else, they'll pick up somebody. I mean, I saw a thing of Mike Kay from the Observer. There's only 70 guys on the roster right now, right? And they can get to 90 or 95, whatever it is, for training camps. And they've got, 7 draft picks. So,
and undrafted free agents.
Yes, there's that room for 13, 14 undrafted free agents / veteran guys that are waiting to see what teams do to pick up, all that kind of stuff. So, I think that's really, to me, it's just, we don't really, being this late, we have a list at every position, but you really don't know, because we always see at the end of the first round teams trading up or taking guys, and you're like, wait, really? That guy just went in the first round? So I do worry about a run on receivers, but it is a deep receiver class. I mean, Kansas City.
Somebody will be there at 33.
Yes, agreed. It's just wild. I mean, you could sit there and make the case for every single person, every single team from 23 to 32 that could take a receiver. The Vikings, they took Addison last year, but they're arguing with Justin Jefferson. They probably won't. Cowboys arguing with CeeDee Lamb, but they could. Green Bay, Tampa Bay.
The Vikings may, because they're talking about trading up to 3 or 4, and the Justin Jefferson might be part of that.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
That's true. Like,
yeah.
The Cardinals, I mean, everyone's assuming they're taking one at 4, Harrison or Daisy at 4, so we don't know, but they could double down. They could double dip on receivers if they want to. Buffalo, we know they're taking a receiver. I mean, if you look at their receiver depth chart, it's worse than ours. I mean, they got, like, nobody on the Buffalo Bills receivers. Lions, maybe not, but, I mean, they got Jameson Williams, they got Amon Rob, so probably maybe not, but it wouldn't surprise me. Baltimore, they took Zay last year, but they let Odell go. I wouldn't be surprised if they got some kind of slasher guy.
I feel like they're known for taking receivers in the late 20s every year.
They're trying to give that, I mean, they got Derrick Henry, they got Lamar. They want that last heave, like, before it gets to that window of they just can't get over the hump. And last year, their first round receiver fucked it up with the taunting thing or whatever. Yeah. I mean, then he fumbled the ball and everything. So
yeah.
And then what? You have Kansas City and San Fran right in front of us.
Yeah, San Fran.
They both could do the same thing.
It sounds like the chatter for Ayuk trade is now. Here's something. Would you trade 33 for Ayuk?
You just, you know what's so, so funny is when you were saying earlier, would you trade 33 up or down? I was like, I probably would trade 39. The way I would trade 33 is if it was for an impact player, like Ayuk. Yeah. I think I would trade 33 for Ayuk. The only caveat is you're about to pay him a big contract, right?
Yeah.
If Leggett's probably going to be there, and you love Leggett, and you can get him on a rookie deal for the next 5 years, do it.
Yeah.
You know, I think I would do it just because.
I mean, think about the Eagles making that trade for A.J. Brown. Now, that was a first-round pick that they gave up, but still. No, it was a second-rounder maybe. I can't remember exactly what the Eagles traded for him. But either way, that jump that Jalen made when it was A.J. Brown, and then they still took Devonta Smith. I mean, it was unreal. So you would have to pay.
Look what Houston's doing for C.J. Stroud.
Agreed.
I mean, the Diggs trade. I mean, it's just like.
Yeah. And the thing is, Ayuk gets open, and that's what we need is guys that get open. Yeah. I mean, no one got open last year. Deontay Johnson's a great start, but again, it would be quite the interesting scenario if, because to me, I think the door really opens up for a trade if the Niners sit there and let's just say they take Leggett there at 31, right? They're like, hell yeah, Debo reunion, we got all this, and then it's like, you know what? We don't want to pay Ayuk. Let's go ahead and auction it off. And they'd have all night and all day to talk about a trade. Hey, we'll take 33, trade for Ayuk, and then they can take somebody else. I don't know. We seem to be throwing it, but it'd be interesting.
Yeah.
And see, the crazy part is still, even if we did that at 33, I mean, I'm not saying we would double dip and get another receiver.
Yeah.
Because they could go at 39 and get, if somebody's for some reason falling, okay, we go at 39 and get another receiver. Because let's say you got three, let's say Deontay Johnson doesn't, he wants to go in free agency and make a lot of money. Thielen's going. So then we've got two guys that you're plugging in. You just paid Ayuk, and then you go get a guy at 39. And then you can still, if we're picking in the top 10, if you wanted to go get another receiver or some shit like that, the next year our free agency because we don't have money.
I would put it in writing. If we traded for Ayuk, we're not picking in the top 10. I just think he's too much of a get with Canales.
Oh, you're back on the train.
I'm saying, look. I mean, fuck the damn Tampa Bay Bucks made the fucking playoffs last year, and we thought they'd suck with Baker Mayfield. I'm drinking the Canales Kool-Aid. I'm all in. I'm not saying Super Bowl, but if he can scheme shit up, now Mike Evans is probably going to be a Hall of Famer, right? So that's different. Yeah. We don't have a Hall of Fame receiver on our roster that can get open like that, but. From what he was scheming up, I mean, what was that? We scored a touchdown. We led for 13 seconds, and then they schemed something up, and that motherfucker was gone. And then all of a sudden, I turned around, and like, he knows how to scheme. So if they had Ayuk and Deontay Johnson, two guys who are known to get open, there's no way we're picking top 10 unless our defense is porous. But then, I mean, we're talking so many hypotheticals. We're getting down the rabbit hole. So,
well, and Duvall, like doubling up on wide receiver again. I understand there's so many holes on this roster. I get it. I know.
Yeah.
But we went so heavy defense other than the two guards and free agency. And I know they're just plug players. We need youth on that side of the ball too. But this offense was just so bad.
Yeah.
And like, you know, I really do want to – and I've been banging the table for a tight end for 4 years, you know, and like Ben Sinnett from Kansas State or whatever his last name is. I think at 65, he'd be an amazing pick, you know, if we could get him there. So like, I'm all for doubling. Even if you take, let's say, Leggett at 33, if McConkey or the kid from Florida is at 39, take him again. Like, because I agree. Thielen's old as shit.
Yep.
Deontay Johnson seems like a mental wild card, but who knows what he's going to do a year from now. Even if he goes off this year, who knows if he'll want to be back. So this wide receiver room could be empty next year, even if we pick one at 33. So if you like somebody at 39 or 65, double dip. I'm all for going so heavy offense. What was the year we picked every defensive player?
That was real. That was the COVID year. That was 2020.
That was 2020.
Yeah. 2020. Yeah. 2020. Yeah.
Let's balance the fucking scales this year and take a whole offense.
Yeah, I mean, it would be wild. I could see that if they stick at 33 and do that. It just feels, and this is where you get into the whole scenario of best player available and all that. Again, I think if they take a receiver at 33 and those guys or wide receivers are starting to slide more. I could see them trading down 39 to like 45 or something, or yeah, 45, and then getting your center or your linebacker or your tight end or something like that. The tight end is always a quandary with me because it seems like you either get a guy in the fifth round and in like 2 years he blows up, or you get it like Laporta was. No one saw the Laporta season from Detroit coming because tight ends are just the slowest developing position in football. I still have a slimmer of hope for Trimble. He just got to catch the ball more. He's wide open. He catches it, and then he drops so many easy. But I just, to me, you pick a guy in the third round, do we wait around another 5 years for the guy? I mean, I don't know. Like, or we just wait to the fifth round and take an Iowa guy and hope he's going to be good because that's where they all come from. You know what I mean? Like, because what? Kelce was a late pick. Fucking my man from the Niners was a late pick.
Kittle.
I mean, most of the top guys. Now, Gronkowski, second round, but he slid because his back was all fucked up, but he still made a hell of a career out of it. I mean, it's just, it'll be interesting. I don't know. I'm not as sold on tight ends. Maybe Canales can unleash something if they do draft a guy, but I'm sold on whatever.
I'm watching YouTube clips, right? Yeah. Dylan has his best stuff, but like the kid from Kansas State, it sounds like he'll be there in the third or fourth round. It sounds like all he does is get open and catch the ball.
Yeah.
Right. And like, that sounds like music to my ears. Cause even Trimble, the knock on him was he's developing.
Yeah.
He just started being a tight end. You know, he'll catch a couple balls. He's a great blocker. And it's like, tight ends just seem, you look at teams that go on deep playoff runs and these dynasties and all these great quarterbacks, they all have great tight ends.
Agreed.
You know? And that's why I've been starving for one. And like you said, the Ian Thomas pick, the Tommy Trimble pick, it was all like, maybe he is the guy. We're picking him late like everybody, da da da. And then it just doesn't develop. So, and again, I know nothing about this Ben Sinnott kid other than the YouTube highlights and stuff I'm reading on Twitter. But if a tight end looks like he's getting open all the time and he's getting some hype, I'm like, why shouldn't we if he can be an outlet for Bryce Young?
Yeah.
But I agree with you. I would look, if we can get a George Kittle in the sixth round, let's do it. Sign me up to that.
I look at that, that 101 or the 141, 142. I just wonder if they look at, and again, I guess it's going to be how their board's built. And we haven't even really talked about edge rusher because it's going to be Clowney and hopefully that guy from the Vikings, but it still is, it's thin across the board at a lot of spots. And you can't fill it all in the seven picks we've got, and maybe you trade down here and there, but man, it's going
to
be
something will be weak this year, right?
Yes.
Like something's going to have to be addressed next year, whether it's edge or center or cornerback or whatever it is, something's going to be weak.
And I do think if a center's not in the first three, that fourth and fifth round pick is going to be a guy that's played either all five positions or he's at least played center and guard, right? Like there's that versatile, because usually you want all your backup linemen to be able to do both because of the injuries and all that shit happens. So it really is going to be interesting to see how the board falls and how it plays, because they need linebacker to kind of look for the succession plan, but it's not an immediate need. Nothing's really an immediate need except for wires. Well, I mean, it is more guys getting open. It's just a lot of what ifs, I guess. It's like, all right, what happens if this guy goes down? If Clowney goes down, then it's like, oh God, where are we at? But I know it's only April, so a lot of stuff could happen. So, I mean, we were playing DiCaprio Boudle at corner with all the injuries we had. I mean, it was wild. So I don't. At some point, it's going to get to that, right? Like it happens in every season. Hopefully J.C. Horn can say healthy, but we've been saying that for 4 years now. So, and what pick, if they made a positional pick, would you be mad about? What, long snapper, punter, kicker?
Yeah, if they did any of that, like between rounds 2 and 4, 5-ish, I'd be a little upset because we have so many more glaring needs.
Yeah.
I think running back would probably, like if they took a running back at 33 or 39.
I'm preparing myself. I'm preparing myself for a running back at that 39 or 65.
I wouldn't be shocked. 65, I wouldn't be shocked.
Yes.
Yeah.
39 can't happen. I think 65 is the edge. But I think I'm more in the 101 than that other 140 pick. It's I think they need to take a running back. But like with those first few picks, if somebody slips, this team is so deprived of talent, they just need to take best player available.
Yeah.
Right? Like I don't think I'd be furious with any position.
Yeah.
Running back might be the one I'm like.
Yeah, because here's the thing is, there's no running back going in the first round. I don't think.
No.
So you know you've got the pick of the top running backs at 33. I'm just throwing it out there. I'm not saying, again, I don't know how their board's built. Again, we've paid Miles Sanders. We got Chuba. We got Blackshear and whatever, Spencer Browns and all that kind of stuff. But I'm just trying to mentally prepare myself for something like, oh, wait, what? They took the – and everyone's going to go, well, it's the top running back on the board. And it's just like, whoa, okay. So
what's funny is I – did a couple mock drafts on my phone this morning, you know, the simulators that everybody does.
Yeah.
And I got the center from Oregon at 33. I got Ladd McConkey at 39, which isn't happening. I got the tight end Ben Sinnett at 65. And then I took Jonathan Brooks, the running back from Texas, who's the number one rated quarter running back on ESPN right now coming into the draft at 101. Right? So to your point, Jacob, is like, these guys may drop, some of these top running backs may be there at 101 and 140.
No, I agree. It's the they've said it. It's the year. There's no Bijan in this draft. There's no old buddy that ran rampant at Detroit. What's his name from Alabama? So it will be, but at some point they want the cheap labor, right? Like that's the whole point. I mean, but again, you look at Kansas City and they're running out there with what's his name, Pacheco. So. That is kind of the thing. That's, you know, cheap running backs, a couple cheap veterans. So, and maybe it's just some smoke screen and then looking at the top running backs. But, yeah, I mean, either way, I'm just preparing myself for not necessarily a what if, but just like you've been saying, this whole team is depleted of talent, and I think they're looking for playmakers, and I don't know. But, again, you would just take Leggett if he's there at 33 and you could put him in the backfield as a big dude and do the Debo type stuff. So...
I think we can all agree wide receiver is the only must-have of those first two picks. Everything else is like could go either way.
I'd agree. A wide receiver and a center to me would be also a must-have. Now, I'm not saying they're going to do it, but to look to the future and you're looking at Corbett and you saw what happened last year and they don't have another true center, you got to kind of play in, okay, is he going to get hurt? Is he going to make the season? This guy could be a starter. So I would think an interior offensive lineman, backup, versatile kind of guy. Cade Mays doesn't seem to have it. He got bullied all last year. Maybe he'll get it in year, whatever, 3-4 this is. It got undrafted, like I said, that Nash Jensen guy from South Dakota State or whatever, he looked good, but everybody looked bad. So I don't know. And would it be the time, if there's a left tackle sitting there that you feel good at 39, I wouldn't be mad about it just to kind of light Icky a little fire. Like, hey, man, like, this isn't guaranteed as it was the first 2 years. So it would be interesting to see if there is a guy that's sitting there that they like, if it's a swing tackle type guy. I don't know.
Hey, if you told me they came away with a wide receiver and a center at 33 and 39, I would sign up today.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, that would be my first choice for 33 and 39.
Okay.
So that would
be. I can be on board with that as well. I mean, and like I said, this is a stretch. And to your point, Caleb, when we were talking about how I wouldn't have a problem with double dipping, if they have some type of vision to where maybe they're going to wait till post June 1 cuts, or they're waiting till certain scenarios to where they might pick up another veteran center to kind of compete and maybe even start, and they double dip on receiver. If there's multiple receivers that they see as a value, and they're looking at the roster in terms of receivers, if they're like, okay, this guy is going to make the team at 33 and 39. Marshall might be on his way out, and we're going to see what we've got left out of there, and we can run with these five guys and go from there, just because they don't know what Deontay Johnson is going to do after next year. I mean, he might want to go and make money and play for a contender if he feels like we're not a contender or whatever the case may be. And we can find a diamond in the rough in 2 second-round picks, okay, and then we've got one from last year, and we can still go draft one next year or something like that. I mean, by all means, go for it. You throw enough darts at a dartboard, at some point, one of these are going to stick. So I'm hoping that, you know, one of these guys is going to really make enough noise.
Should we list our favorite receivers that'll probably be there?
I think we've already listed all the favorite receivers, haven't we?
Yeah, yeah.
We've about went through them all.
Is Leggett your guy?
I like him solely on his accent. That guy can play on my team. He's the most country motherfucker I've heard in a long time.
My guy is cornbread fed.
Yes, man. You just can't sound
he's the most
that way.
Black dude I've ever heard.
Yes,
I was like, God damn.
Like you can't talk like that and be that big and not at least give us some flash plays. And I saw the stat where he clocked the fastest speed in the NFL and the NCAA last year on that one play against Georgia, maybe or something. So,
and he's big.
He's big and fast. Unlike Funchess and Benjamin when we had them. Like, if you're going to get, and they had DK Metcalf in Seattle where Canales was from. And it seems so easy.
Is he like 6'4 big or is he like 6'2 big?
Let's see. I got it pulled up right here.
Yeah,
that's Lad.
I mean, that's still big now. Yeah. Don't get me wrong, but
he's 6'1", 220.
Okay,
that is a big dude at 6'1", 220. God damn, that's
so he's like
moving like that.
Yeah, moving. That's what I'm saying. Like another guy you can put in the backfield. You know what I'm saying? Or put him everywhere.
And he's a kick returner.
Yes,
he kick returned for South Carolina. But we can all agree Marvin Harrison's going to be gone. Neighbors will be gone. Adunze will be gone. Brian Thomas Jr. will be gone. A.D. Mitchell will probably be gone.
Yep.
Xavier Worthy from Texas keeps getting mocked in the first round. So let's say those
he may
six.
Be there. Give
but
a
he
take.
Ran. He ran the fastest 40, right?
Yes.
So
let's just say those five. Let's just say those five are definitely gone. So you have Xavier Leggett, Ladd McConkey, Xavier Worthy, Keon Coleman, Ricky Parcell, Troy Franklin are the next six guys. Yeah. And of that group. The only one I definitely don't want is Keon Coleman. I think I just have PTSD from a big dude from Florida State. I love Ladd McConkey because he reminds me of like a Cooper Kupp kind of player, but I don't know if we have the charm to take that kind of guy. You know what I mean? Like,
the only thing that worries me about him is his injury history. Right, like I didn't
know that. Does
like he didn't play. He didn't play a lot at Georgia because he was nicked up a good little bit and missed some time. I like Leggett. He's homegrown from here. He's country as all get out, and he just kind of reminds me of like if Debo was drafted. Like Debo would have went in the first round if everybody knew this is what Debo was going to be. Right now, I'm not saying it's going to be Debo. But he's almost a mix between a Debo and a DK Metcalf. Both went in the second. Every other team said, damn, we should have taken – the fucking Patriots took N'Keal Harry. They should have taken fucking Metcalf. They could have won a Super Bowl with Tom Brady there. Like, to me, if he's that good now, I don't know why he's falling in the second. Maybe it's because he's like that tweener type of size. Maybe not consistent.
I saw a report today that said don't be surprised if he's a surprise first pick.
Yes.
So it sounds like – and that was my point earlier. It's like – It's probably his agent being like, hey, tell everybody the Panthers are taking you at 33 because then you're going to get first round money because somebody's got to get you before then. So,
I mean, look at, like I said, to me, we know for a fact the Bills are taking one and we don't know what style they want. Do they want a Ladd McConkey, a white boy to go along with Josh Allen and not to rock the boat to go opposite of Stephon Diggs? You know what I mean? Like, this guy's just going to stick to his lane and do his job. Or do they go with somebody like a big Leggett? And, we've seen, like, it's that, and then again, the Chiefs, they could look at Andy Reid loves the offense, but they it also wouldn't surprise me if they went and got a corner just because they just traded their number one corner to the Titans. So, there's a lot there. And I think, like you said, the receiver draft is so deep because now these offenses are running five wide and everybody's getting a look that it's just everyone looks better than they had in the past.
And I think there's a good chance. Not a good chance. There's a chance that eight of these guys are gone. And then you're stuck at 33 with Keon Coleman, Ricky Parcell, and Troy Franklin, who are probably the next three best. And at that point, you're not taking those guys at 33.
Is Parcell the Florida guy?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a 39 pick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then you could take your cornerback or center at 33. Because if we have eight guys go, receivers go in the first round, and five quarterbacks – I mean, that's
a quarterback slipping. A quarterback is slipping. I'll put it out. I just want, they always do. One's going to slide. Penix or I, whoever it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just think one of them.
My point is if eight receivers go in the first round, there's going to be somebody really good there at 33, whether it's a center or quarterback or somebody or an edge that you can get. Or you'll get one of those top eight guys, which I'd be comfortable with any of the eight.
Yeah.
To be honest. So no,
I agree. If it goes, it could – another position high up will be available.
So. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then you take one of those next three at 39.
Yeah.
So to your point, is the go really best player available at 33?
I think if the first eight receivers are gone, yes.
Gone.
Because, I mean, those first eight I feel like are all impact players, but also four of them are probably bust, right? But
yeah.
Like,
by playing the probability of it all, yes.
Yeah. But, like, to me, those are the eight guys you keep seeing go anywhere from pick four to pick 35.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, the first five you mentioned are going in the first. We know Harrison, we know Oduzie, we know Neighbors, and then
Brian Thomas Jr. From LSU, A.D. Mitchell, and then I haven't seen a mock without Xavier Worthy in the first, so that's six.
And there's going to be, like you said, there's going to be a surprise somewhere where everybody else has lowered it for somebody, but then all of a sudden they jump up and take him, like, oh, that should have been a second round pick or whatever, but they love the guy. It was all like, again, no one had Detroit taking a middle linebacker and a running back last year, like, and then they did it. So it is one of those wild things, is we'll see what happens. So,
and the other thing is everybody knows that we're taking a receiver at 33. So if somebody behind us wants a receiver, like say New England takes a quarterback at three or wherever they are, and they're picking right behind us in the second round, they could trade back in the first round too and take a receiver.
Yeah.
So it feels like anywhere between six and eight are going in the first round. It just depends on who falls out.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying not to get too excited for any of these guys because it really is just like we'll have to wait and see what happens. There's no way to like really know being your first picking at 33. So it's just, all right, we'll see what happens. So, but yeah, I mean, even to go back on a side to your point earlier about trading those guys, like Jeremy Chinn just walked. Like, we haven't been able to draft guys and develop any guys, really. I mean, so you've got to hit on those 101, 141, 142, find some late, you know, the Captain Munnerlins, the Greg Hardys before his shenanigans, all that we've talked about. So that, to me, is where you get some of that team success, is when you can hit some late picks and they become more than just a three-year rental or a cut after 2 years. You know what I mean?
And I think the biggest disappointment right now is the best part about it was we're going to have a quarterback on a rookie deal with a roster we thought could win.
Yeah.
And that isn't going to happen at this point. We're going to waste Bryce Young's rookie deal building talent. And that's what we have to do. That's just kind of what we're designed to do. And that's, to your point, we've got to hit on these picks. Even if it is a center and linebacker, which aren't going to win you any games next year, they could be the stars 3 or 4 years from now. You know what I mean? So, like, you've got to just
But what I'll say, though, is at least we did finally see a team, the Chiefs, win a Super Bowl with a quarterback on that second contract.
On a big deal.
A big deal. So, now, again, Mahomes is a god, right? Like, that's a rarity to come across. But to see it gives you a little bit of hope. Because for a long time there, it was like, you can't win a Super Bowl unless a quarterback's on a rookie deal because then you got to pay him a lot of money. So it comes down to a lot of things, but at least we saw it happen to where, okay, you can now again, but where did they hit? They hit on a starting all-pro guard in the fifth round. Like, that's where you hit is a starting running back Pacheco in the seventh round. Like, that's, you know, and then making trades for receivers and all that kind of thing. Now, yes, Mahomes covers a lot of that up, but it still helps when you can get guys. L'Jarius Sneed, I think, was he not a second, third-round pick? I mean, so you got to hit those picks for it to keep going, so you're not necessarily playing with just, oh, this is a fifth-round pick, but he's complete ass, so.
Yeah. No. I was thinking about it today, and it's really true. I think this is the first time in my life I have zero expectations. Like, if you think about it.
I feel like you said that last year, though.
No, I felt like they were going to make the playoffs last year.
Okay.
I thought they could be one of the better teams, even with Bryce. I didn't expect them to win a Super Bowl last year. But I think my point is, like, going back to the DeLone days when we were kids, like, every year since then, even the Jimmy Clausen year going into it last year, like I never thought they were going to be 1-15 ever in my entire life. And I think this is the first time in my life I'm like, they could win 2 games, they could win 8. I'm not really sure. I'm just kind of looking forward to the ride, not going to be too depressed about it. And it's a weird feeling. And I think it's because Canales is young. I have no expectations for him in a good way. And Bryce Young, I just want him to develop. You know what I mean? Like, just look better. And then I just know how talentless this roster is right now. Like, it just feels like I don't think we're surprising anybody this year.
I'm with you. I'm creeping, as always, as a fan, creeping back in is positivity, just because of how in the NFL things can turn. And all it takes is a couple picks, a couple moves, and you can turn around a couple players, and you could hit it big. I mean, we've seen it happen all the time with a flip-flop of playoffs. Yeah, there's your elite teams. Canales has got – I'm all in. Like I said earlier, like, I love his energy. He seems to, you know, describe what he wants to do very well. The players seem to like him so far. Everywhere he's gone, everyone likes him. And I just think with that, compared to, like, I think someone threw up that old clip of Frank Wright last year when it was, like, him in the meeting and he's just like, and this is what we should do if you're going to, like, and you got Canales dapping everybody up, saying what's up to everybody, looking you in your eyes. You know, I love the refreshingness of when he said he loved being able to come to this roster and tell the truth and not have any attachments to it. And we saw that with trading Brian Burns. We saw, you know, he came in and said, all right, this guy's not good, and let people walk. You know what I mean? So I think he's a refreshing guy. Again, will it translate to wins? To be determined. But it also, Caleb, like, I just can't fathom it getting any worse than last year, right?
Oh,
like,
my God.
Barring catastrophic injuries to Bryce and Clowney and a whole bunch of things happening, Andy Dalton could probably get you 5-6 wins, right? Like, to me, last year was, like you said, going back to that Clausen year, we had, like, talent like D'Angelo, Steve Smith, I guess Smith got hurt earlier or whatever, but Stewart, Jordan Gross, like, there were guys on that team. That one out, this one, it was like, oh, and then it just became more and more obvious of how bad and how bad they were. I just can't see Canales and what he's bringing to the table, this being, now he's going to have some hiccups, but I just, with the juice he's bringing, it just seems like that's, and I know it doesn't account for anything, but it just seems like that's at least 3 wins. I don't know, shit.
Let me clarify, because I don't mean it negatively. I don't mean this like I'm complacent or this team's going to be terrible or anything like this. I'm bought in too. Like, I like Canales and everything, but like, I think for the first time in my life, don't expect them to go to the playoffs.
Okay.
And it's a little refreshing, to be honest, because, you know, every year you come in and then they look horrible in the preseason, or there's injuries or whatever it's been for the last 20 years that have prevented us from being sustained success. This is the first time I can remember where I'm just like, I feel like it's such a fresh slate. I don't think there's a sink, like, you know, every time we've gotten a new coach, there's been the holdovers, like a John Beeson or Thomas Davis, to pass the torch, to teach people what Panther football is. I don't know if we have that on this roster. I think Shaq's the closest
Shaq,
thing we
yeah,
have.
Yeah, yeah, Shaq.
Yeah, yeah. But he was a rookie when we went to the Super Bowl, and it's basically been a disaster since, you know, other than 2017. But
yeah, when Funch just lost it in the lights.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. So like, I feel like it's a clean slate, and I feel like, you know, Bryce even feels like a rookie again to me because last year doesn't even count in my mind with him. Like, this is the first time I'm going to really evaluate him. And Canal, I think it's a little refreshing to me to take a step back from the crazy psycho I usually am and just be like, let's just see what happens here.
Yeah.
And be pleasantly surprised and make me love Panther football again. You know what I mean? Because I don't believe in anybody. I've said this on this podcast before, but like, I don't think anybody connects with the city that's on the roster yet. I'm just ready to start loving Panther players again. And I just haven't in a long time.
I said the Clowney signing did. I mean, he's from here. He came down here, and it, like, even him talking about it, like, to me, a guy at his age, what is he, 30? To sign, he hasn't won a Super Bowl, and to sign here knowing, like you just said, probably not going to, right? That to me at least shows, like, okay, now it is good money. But again, like, he could have probably went, and stayed in Cleveland or went back to Baltimore and at least chased a ring. But he wanted to come back here and cross it off of his, you know, his grown up list of like, look, all my family can come see me play. So I thought that was pretty cool. I mean, I get where you're at. I think that's a very good spot to be. But, you know, I just, it's almost like a, I keep just, as always a fan, you just keep getting, you know, creeping back in. And it's just like, it's got to get better, right? Like, it's got to get better. It has to. And it seems like, I mean, Bryce, he's been good everywhere. Again, that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to translate, but Canales turned over fucking Geno and Baker, and he's got to, right? Like, it's, yeah. I guess it doesn't have to. The Hurricanes were supposed to lose last night, and they came back too, so I don't know. I mean, who knows?
Yeah, I think it's going to storm,
don't last forever. Storm don't last forever, and that's kind of how I am too. I know it's been tough, and I mean, next year doesn't mean that we're going to go, you know, 13-4 or anything like that, but I do believe that we can definitely be better than last year. I think we'll compete. Obviously, if we've got any type of offensive scheme, we'll be better than last year. So, I mean, like to your point, we'll win more than two games. I mean, if we win four, that's fine. You know, but if we compete in those other 12 losses and it's not like blown outs and we're like, okay, we've got a shot and we're able to see the light at the end of the tunnel. That's just like those first few years of Cam, 6-10, 7-9. I was like, okay, we see the light at the end of the tunnel. So I think that's kind of where I'm at with it. I'm staying positive. And I mean, in my mind, the only way we can go is up, because I don't see us going 1-15. I just don't see that. But I also didn't see us going 2-17, 2-16, 2-15
last year.
So, yeah, do with that information
you choose. Yeah. No, and I feel you on that. I know where you're coming from and just keeping the expectations. I guess it's just always like, yeah, we know we're not going to win the Super Bowl, but it's good to try to go, all right, well, look at, I mean, what I have liked about Canales is it seems like per game he's going to make adjustments of each team we play. When you go back and look at Frank Wright, it seemed like he was going to run his offense no matter what was going to happen. And if it didn't work, it didn't work. Well, it's gotten me this far. I feel like Canales is a mix of that old school, new school, where he's like, all right, one game we may win running the ball 35, 40 times. The next game we may win it throwing the ball 30 times. And that, at least to me, gets me excited that we're going to see a new version of football that we have not had shit since Cam left, right? Even then, we were trying to turn it over, but we haven't had a new version of, oh, this new NFL that we're seeing sling around, and we thought we were going to get it with Bryce, and let's just, you know. So that's where I'm kind of at. He keeps the juice. When he brings that energy, it gets me going.
I said it when they hired him, man. If he turns this around, he's going to make this place so marketable with his personality, his good looks. Dude, he could be the most famous coach in football, if he ends up being good. You know what I mean? I mean, he has that spark about him.
Yeah.
So, and if it works and him and Bryce connect, then it could be really good for the city and the team.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Now, the one thing we did miss on, I just saw it kind of coming out today, was quarterback. Now, Canales talked about he wanted a veteran as the third stringer. He wants to keep three quarterbacks. What, you know, do you see them seventh round, fifth round, taking a flyer on a guy just to have, you know, it seems like the reporters, the beat reporters, and maybe that's just some smoke, right? Maybe that's just some smoke, but the beat reporters kind of dropped that maybe the Panthers might take a late quarterback. Obviously, I don't think second, third, or fourth. But a fifth, or if you trade back and you collect an extra sixth or something, just a developmental slash emergency third kind of thing.
It wouldn't bother me. It is what it is. Yeah. Once it gets to the fifth, sixth, seventh round, I think it's all flyer.
It's all house money. Yes.
Yeah. To me, though, I mean, I don't know how you guys feel, and I don't mean to take this a different way, Jacob, but like back in the, I'd like to take a kicker. An elite kicker back in that, the last half of the draft, because it feels like every year we're getting an injury to a guy. Pinero, you know, I don't think he's very reliable. I wouldn't mind taking an elite kicker in the sixth or seventh round and making him go up against Pinero. And if he's decent, not doing the Harrison Bucker thing.
I got one more for you. You go over to the UFL and you grab one of them suckers that's kicking in the UFL And I just would sign one of those guys. Because to me...
Sure.
To me, I do agree with bringing in competition for kicker. I don't want him just, Pinheiro, to go in by himself. The punter's been fine, but I'm fine if you want to bring in a scrub leg in for the punter for Hecker as well. I think, like, I've been telling everybody, the best thing about this UFL league and these spring leagues is the special teams guy, the kickers and punters. What do they always say? You need live reps. All they're doing is kicking. Unlike a running back or receiver whose legs may give out by September because they're playing football so much, these guys are legit getting live reps. So I'd go take one of those UFL kickers. That one dude kicked a 66-yarder. Now, he's probably not coming here. They're probably a kicker-needed team is going to end up signing Jacob Bates, I think, for the Michigan Panthers or something, or maybe the Birmingham Stallions. I don't know. But the man tied Justin Tuck's record in the Detroit Lions Stadium by kicking a 66-yarder. He's kicked three or four 60-yarders. These are the guys that are getting the reps who I think you would take, you know, or sign for the camp competition, maybe over a pick. But, hey, either way, once you get, like you said, fifth, sixth, seventh, or sixth, seventh round, hey, dice it up.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would take a quarterback over a long snapper in the sixth and seventh round, you know.
The long snapper thing, Jansen's here. Just let it be. Let him keep going, and that be it.
If you don't take a quarterback in the first four rounds, it's almost not even a conversation. It's just you're taking a guy to be a third, the third stringer, just seeing what happens.
And it's the Brock Purdy, right? Like, you're just hoping, and you never, like, and I've said it. If Purdy doesn't become Purdy, I think John Lynch is gone. Shanahan may be fired because they're just now picking back in the first round for that trade up to Trey Lance. I mean, that was one of the worst trades of all time. They're just lucky Purdy became Purdy because, whoo, buddy, that's...
I also think that if Brock Purdy was drafted by the Carolina Panthers where Matt Corral was, Brock Purdy would be out of the league today.
That's fair, too.
I just think Brock Purdy's Brock Purdy because of Kyle Shanahan and the offensive weapons.
Speaking of, did you see Rule's quote about that?
Yeah, that he wanted him or something. I hate that guy. I swear to God, if I never see a quote from that guy ever again,
I can't believe he keeps talking about that shit. He's like, years later, he's like that ex-girlfriend. You just keep bringing it up like, yo, we broke up. What do we do? We've all moved on. You collected your 80-something, 90 million. You're still getting paid. Why do you keep bringing this up, man? You just want that attention. It's crazy.
The 49ers are going to be in such a hole when they have to pay Brock Purdy big money.
Oh, yeah. This is the last year because they can't pay him yet. So this is the last – this is their – like, if you want to see them all in, like, they really have to be – I mean, McCaffrey, Ayuk wants to get paid, Debo.
Yeah.
I mean, they're about to have to blow that whole thing up, but they're hoping everybody can stay – Kittle. And he's kind of –
Kittle's old.
He's kind of, you know, slid down. Oh. I mean, whoo, buddy. Yeah. So –
And I'm sitting here thinking, is this McCaffrey's last year on his deal?
No, I think he's – no, oh, I he's think got it's –
2 years.
I think he's
– 26?
Yeah, I think he's got another –
he's got two more years.
But it's going to be a big number. Like, his – that was the crazy part about it. I think that last year is a huge number to where, like, almost $20 million or something, so.
So he added his on the back end of his deal. So his is big on the back end of his deal. Okay.
I mean, he's worth it the way he's been playing. I mean
– right, but he's only got – I mean, barring injury, like, hopefully he's able to do this, but, I mean, he's closing in. As you know, he's closing in on 30, but 27, 28. So he's probably got, after this deal, you'll see a little bit of a change.
Totally. Totally. Like, he wasn't worth a year because he wasn't on the field because he was injured.
Yep.
Correct.
My point is, like, if he was on the field all the time, he would have never been traded. Like, but you know, he's worth the deal now because he's actually on the freaking field.
Oh, yeah. So
sucks.
Let's see. This 2024, he'll count $11.8 million.
Okay.
Is his base salary. Cap hit of $14 million. And then next year in 2025, he'll have another cap hit of $4.3 million. So that's – and then he's got – I guess he has two of those void years. It goes through 27. So – and then there's like a $4 million and a $2 million cap hit. That's big money for a running back. But again, when you're at that level, you pay that position and make sure, you know, you're getting there, the extra edge. But, yeah, not.
Well, they had the luxury because they weren't paying quarterback. Yes. And now once they have to pay Brock Purdy, you can't pay IU. You can't pay Christian McCaffrey. You can't do stuff like that.
Agreed. Yep. Agreed. All right. So any final thoughts or major predictions? I guess bold prediction. Like, let's do one bold prediction. And then we'll get out of here. Duvall, you want to start us all?
I don't know if it's bold because we kind of talked about it, but I can see us double dipping at wide receiver at 33 and 39.
Okay,
I think that's pretty bold.
Yeah, I think it's pretty bold, especially with two former second round picks still on the roster. Now I know Marshall's basically about out of one leg, half leg in, half leg out, but I think that's pretty bold with a team with that many holes.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I have a bold. I don't know if Morgan has the balls to do anything bold. I'll do this. I'll say I think. Here's my bold prediction. The Panthers pick at every pick they currently have. No trades in the draft.
Ooh. Okay. I think there'll be a trade, but it will be all trade downs. And it might be like in the fourth round or that fifth round pick, they pick up a fourth next year or something. Like, it'll be picks to acquire next year to try to build that up with no two next year. But my bold would be at pick 33, 39, they go like linebacker and corner.
That's bold. That's bold.
I promised I wouldn't be mad, but you might see the math that happens.
And they wait till 65 to take that running back. Wide receiver.
Wide receiver. So, all right. My prediction is they'll go, I'll be boring and say they take Leggett at 33, and at 39, they go to the cornerback from Michigan.
Okay. I wonder if that cornerback from Michigan is going to slide past the Chargers at that second-round pick.
I saw that, too. It was us and them interested in
it. It reminds me of that. Remember when Pete Carroll took over the Seahawks and that one safety from USC thought he was going to go in the first round, but then they took Thomas or whatever, and he was so mad about it. And they were like, But they were like, nah, man, this is the better player, like, whatever, so.
My dream picks would be wide receiver, whether it's Ladd McConkey or Leggett at 33, and then a center at 39.
Okay.
One of the top three centers.
Yeah, I can rock with that. Yeah. I could go receiver corner or receiver center, either one.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, those are – I'm open to whatever. I'm preparing myself to not get too fired up if they do something like a guard at 30, you know, or like I just said, a linebacker in a corner at 33, 39. I don't think it'll happen, but I'm preparing myself just in case to just try to be excited for the new players and not shit on these new guys that come in and at least give them a chance, because you never know if they can turn out to be, you know. Again, the Luke Kuechly one, I wasn't as mad about it. It was puzzling when it happened because of the Beeson, but it's one of those ones that paid off down the road, because I know people wanted Don Terry Poe that year, and ironically enough, he played on our team years and years later, and he was terrible. So,
hey, we just need talent, man. At the end of the day, we just need talent. That's right. No matter what position it's at.
That's right. So. All right. I don't have anything up, and I guess we'll be back next week for a little recap if everyone's available. Maybe we'll have some more people. Won't be any anniversaries, and we'll see if any bold predictions come true, or if any crazy trades, or what it may be. But, and I forgot to say off the jump, because it's been a while, congrats to Caleb on winning the women's bracket challenge, Candace for winning the men's, and then Brittany won our pick'em. I can't remember if I gave her a shout-out on our Survivor pod or not. So those were our fantasy games. We've got our mock draft challenge as well. Enter those in the Google Doc, or if you come over like Duval is, you can just fill it out, you know, here in the basement or whatever it may be. But, other than that, anybody got anything else? No? All right. Well, since Jeeves isn't here and nobody else, Duval, man, how do we end it?
Peace.